The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the 1st to the 17th verse. It's on page 1253 in your Bibles. And it's verses 12 through 17, that's the text. Listen to the word of God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another, seeing you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And here's where the text begins. Put on then, or put on therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So far, the reading of Colossians 3. And now we turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33, questions 90 and 91, printed on your bulletin. The question is, what is the coming to life of the new self? This is the second part of conversion. We saw the first part, which was last week, the mortification or the dying of the old self. And now the positive side. What is the coming to life of the new self? And the answer, it is the wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to. Now, question 91, what do you do that is good? And the answer is only that which rises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is done or based on what we think is right or established human tradition. So far, the reading of the Word of God and the confession of the church based upon it. Christian living is the theme of tonight. Christian living, the root and the fruit. Before we open this passage of the Bible, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at Christian living and the beautiful description of it here in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Dear Lord, may we not only hear it and know it, but may we practice these great and wonderful truths of God. Bless us this night. Fill us with your Spirit. Grant us the anointing of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian life is a lifetime event. It's a lifetime practice to live for the Lord, not only to confess, which we do regularly. Tonight we confessed our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and that's very good. But our religion is more than a matter of confessing. It's more than words. It's got to be put into practice. We've got to live the Christian life. And that's not always easy. Living the Christian life takes effort. It takes dedication. In the Apostles Paul's letters, nearly all of them are divided into two parts. The first part is the teaching, is the foundation, or you might call it the root of our Christianity. And the second part is the fruit, or the application of those basic principles. And you have that same thing here in the book of Colossians. The first chapters of the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul proclaimed and taught concerning Christ and His glory and His work of redemption on the cross and His glorious resurrection. And now he comes to the second part of his book of Colossians, which he begins in the same way as he did in Romans, for example. It begins with the word therefore. He had laid out the principles, and now there's an application of those principles and the introduction to those to that application is the word therefore. If therefore you have been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is. Set your minds in the things that are above, not in the things that are on the earth. For your life is hid with God in Christ. You are not your own, but you belong to the Savior. And our lives have to show it. So let's look at two things. First, the root and then the fruit of the Christian life, and Christian living. And as we look at the root, the Apostle Paul begins with, if you've then been risen with Christ, and the assumption is you have been. He writes to believers, to the believers in Colossae, to those who are saints of God, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae. And so he says to them, since you have been risen with Christ, because you were raised with Christ, because the work of the Holy Spirit has happened in your life, that you're born again. He uses the word risen. And that's exactly what it is, because you see, by nature we are dead in trespasses and sins. And by God's Holy Spirit, He makes us alive again. It's like a resurrection. It's as powerful as creation. It's as powerful as the resurrection from the dead. That when a person becomes a Christian, this is God's work from beginning to end. We were dead in sins and trespasses, but now we're made alive together with Christ. We're made alive by His power, by His Spirit. He breathes new life in us. There's a beautiful example of this in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel is shown a vision of dry bones. the vision of dry bones. And God says to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh Lord, only you know. And so God said to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones. And so the word of the Lord came over those dry bones, and they were exceeding dry. They were dead. But the word of the Lord came, and the Holy Spirit inspired that word, and the Holy Spirit brought life into those dead bones. Now that's exactly what happens when a person becomes a Christian. It is the Holy Spirit that makes life, that creates new life in the heart of the unbeliever. He creates new life so that it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, so it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we are no longer dead, but we are alive. Now Paul says, since you have been raised with Christ, since you're risen with Christ, now seek those things that are above. So the root of our Christian life goes back to God's work of regeneration, making us alive, risen with Christ. And so in the text that I have for tonight, the Apostle Paul says, put on then as God's chosen. And that word chosen takes us back to before the foundation of the world. The word chosen is the word election. It goes back to that great counsel of God, which the sovereign Almighty God in His sovereign grace, before the foundation of the world, chose those to be His out of a fallen human race. As Paul says in Ephesians 1, having been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and well blemished before Him in love. Not because you were holy, you were chosen in order that you may be holy and without blemish in love. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live for thee. It all goes back to God's work of sovereign grace, in which He chose us in Christ to be conformed to the image of Christ. Election is a work of God in its grace from beginning to end. He chose us in Him. Now the Apostle Paul says, put on therefore as God's chosen, holy and beloved. All three of those words are just packed with meaning. Chosen, holy, and beloved. That word beloved is in the perfect tense, which means His love encompassed us and embraced us long ago, and now it continues. That's the uniqueness of the perfect tense. It is an act that happened in the past and now stands completed. We are the beloved of God. It's not because we loved Him. It's not because we sought Him. It's because He loved us and He sought us. We were the wandering sheep, and He, the good shepherd, went after us. It's all grace. And so Paul says, put on then as God's chosen, holy. He called us to be holy, to be separated from darkness and to be separated from evil and to be dedicated to Him and beloved. That's the root of all of our Christian living. It roots in His grace and His love. And that's why we love to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, the essence of that word found means that we didn't seek Him. He sought us. He called us. He came to us. He brought us out of darkness into light. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He took me out of the horrible pit, and He took me out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my going. It's God's work. And so He is the great Savior. The great source of Christian life is the Lord. Now He chose us in order that we may please Him, that we may show forth His glory. And so the root bears the fruit. And the fruit is this. Put on. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Put on compassion, compassion of hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. All those wonderful virtues. We've got to put those on. Put those on is a command. We've got to work on that. Put those on. And the word put it on is like an action of ours. It's a word which is used for putting on a coat or putting on a dress. You put it on. And we've got to put on these virtues. And these virtues are beautiful. They're in couplets. And the two couplets first are an emotion or a thought. And then there's an action which flows out of that thought. So the first couplet is put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. The first thing is compassionate hearts. That's an emotion. That's a feeling of compassion. Now the word compassion is composed of two compounds. C-O-M, come, and the second is passion, compassion. And they both come from the Latin. C-O-M comes from the Latin word C-U-M, which is with. And passion means feeling. Feeling. So what Paul says here is we have to have a heart that has a feeling of support for one another. Compassion. Another word that comes from the Greek means the same thing as sympathy. The first part of sympathy is with in Greek. And then it's pathy, which is feeling. Feeling along with someone. When you go to the visitation of someone at a funeral home, you express sympathy. You say, I am sharing your grief. I want to support you in your grief. We're sharing that. That's what compassion is. That's what sympathy is. Now that's the emotion. That's the feeling. And now what has to flow out of that feeling is the action. And that is kindness. Kindness. See, kindness to one another flows out of compassion. And we're kind to one another. Now, what is kindness? Well, doing nice things for each other. Sending a sympathy card. Visiting someone. praying for them, doing something for them. That's kindness. That's going out of your way for another person. Now that flows out of being a new person. You're risen with Christ. Okay, you've got to have a heart of compassion and actions of kindness to one another. You understand how, for a Christian, that is beautiful. And it is a witness. It's a clear witness. Do you know what they said in the early church? The community, behold how they loved one another. They noted how they were kind to one another and how they were helpful to one another. It's a beautiful thing. Lydia, the seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, she made clothes for others. So did Dorcas. They were mindful of others' needs. And that's just what Paul says here. Have a compassionate heart and then show that compassionate heart in deeds of kindness. We can never outdo that. We can never do enough kindness. There's always more to do. There are always people in need, in poverty, in sickness. Saying a kind word to someone. Being helpful. You see, that is the positive side of conversion. Conversion is not only being sorry for our sins. That's the negative part. But the positive part is being kind. It's being alive in Christ. So the first beautiful couplet is compassion, a compassionate heart, and then the consequent act of kindness that flows out of it. The next one, humility. Humility, that's the feeling, that's the emotion. Do not count yourself higher than another. Be humble. Jesus was humble. We are to be humble. Do not proud. Do not be proud. Do not count yourself as better than others. Oh, Paul says that so beautifully in the book of Philippians, in the third chapter, the second chapter of Philippians. He says, and he says it so beautifully. Philippians chapter 2, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was first in Christ Jesus. Talk about humility. Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider it a thing to be grasped to be equal with him, but he emptied himself. That's humility. He emptied himself and he took the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. There's a picture of humility. He became nothing for our sakes. And now Paul says, since you've been risen with Christ, you must too be humble. You must have humility, and that's the attitude. And the action that flows out of this attitude is meekness. Meekness means not pushing yourself forward, not getting ahead of someone else, not trying to step on them to get ahead, but be meek. Let the Lord work out the thing in your life and in my life. And then the next one, patience. Patience. The older translations have it, suffering suffers, suffering long, be long suffering. Long suffering. Do not lose your temper. Do not have a short fuse, but suffer long. That's patience. We have to have patience for one another. Husbands have to have patience with their wives. Wives have to be patient with their husbands. Children have to be patient with their parents. Parents have to be patient with their children. We all have to be patient with one another. Patience, suffering long. Do not enter into quick judgment. That's the attitude. And what flows from it is this, bearing with one another. Bearing with them. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you forgive. You see, that flows out of that attitude of humility. If we're humble, we're going to be willing to forgive. We're going to be willing to say, I forgive. I understand. I don't hold it against you. Now, these are all beautiful virtues. And the Apostle Paul says, do you know what the greatest of them all is? It's love. Above all these, put on love, which binds them all together. Here is a string of pearls. And there is a string that runs through all these pearls. And that string is love. In this text, it's love. It's a string of pearls in this text. Above all these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. And so each one of these great virtues that Paul's been talking about are like pearls on the string. And the pearl is each one of the virtues, and the string is love. And love binds them all together in perfect harmony. And that's how we have to live. Now, if you think back of that great chapter on love, which we all know, 1 Corinthians 13, you will find that the Apostle Paul talks about all of these virtues when he describes love. You remember how he starts that chapter, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, it's sounding brass or clanging cymbals. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give up all I have and if I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. You see, love is the greatest of all virtues. And now he begins to enumerate the virtues that flow from love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, and love does not boast. It is not arrogant. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable, and it is not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Can you imagine anything greater than that? That is what this is. That's love. It binds all these great virtues together. And the example of all of this love is God Himself. 1 John 4 says, God is love. The God we serve is the personification of love. That's who He is. And He is patient with us. And He is kind to us. He gives us so much more than what we deserve. He loves us with an everlasting love. When He forgives us, He doesn't hold it against us. Can you imagine what that forgiveness of God is? Think of the thief on the cross who lived a life of crime. And here he's dying on the cross and he hears Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he thought, that was me. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have my right senses. I blew it. I was wicked. And he hears Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, that was me. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, 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 remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the kind of God we serve. You ask and He gives us, and He fills us with Himself. Like Paul says at the end of Ephesians 3, now unto Him who was able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or imagine, according to the greatness of His love. That's the kind of God we have. Do you love Him? Do you pray to Him? Do you serve Him? The Apostle Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you witness to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He is near now. He is near us. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. That's the kind of God we serve. This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide all the way to the very end. Do you know Him? You love Him? Oh, may we serve Him with our lives. Having been risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. And may God receive the glory. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. We thank You, Lord, for the great and glorious gospel that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have eternal life. This wonderful God, our Father, You did not spare Your own Son, but You gave Him up for us all. If You did that, shall You not give us everything we need? Oh Lord, increase our faith. Help us to love You more and more and more. Bless us this day. Apply this truth to our hearts. In Jesus' wonderful, glorious, powerful name we pray. Amen.